Welcome to Chromatic Elephant, a podcast about race, trauma, and the impact of white body supremacy. Here are your hosts, Tyler Reitzner and Resma Menakem.
Welcome to Chromatic Elephant. My name is Tyler Reitzner.
And I'm Resma Menakem.
Here today, we are ready to bring the elephant back into the room and talk a little bit about a video that a friend of Resma's, Robin DiAngelo, has out. She's got a great book out called White Fragility. Mm-hmm. And she's also got some videos out on YouTube. One in particular that we want to talk about that's going to be on our website. And you can also look it up on Google through just type in Robin DiAngelo. Being nice doesn't mean you're not racist. And that's really what we're going to talk about today is not so much, critiquing the video, but more talking about the subject of why that's important. And Resma, I told you before we started recording, I'm super excited to talk about this, but in a weird, like, I'm about to get on a roller coaster and not know where I, how I end up, if I'm going to end up alive at the end of it, because this is...
I think you'll be alive.
I'll be alive. I mean, but that's kind of the dramatic part of how I feel, is like, crap.
Right.
And this is hitting for me up against... the video was hard for me to watch, and I've watched it over and over, mainly because... That concept, I recognized as she was talking about being nice does not mean you're not racist. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's really hard for white folks to even admit they are.
Yeah.
And they are.
But
we are.
Right.
See, even there, I'm they. And trying to oh, I'm different. You know, again, I'm the good one. I'm not. Not like them.
Right.
And that's where I end up. Is like because I've caught myself even when we're doing this production. Being over nice.
That's right.
And trying to like be over like I'll agree with you on something, but I go over like, wow, that's the greatest point I've ever heard in my life. Like this is the best. Like no, it's okay.
That's right. That's right.
And I've even noticed myself doing that even with my wife, where it's not so much that I'm being overly nice, but I won't. There's a point. I mean, we're still husband and wife.
Right.
We're gonna have that. Those types of clashes Absolutely. And everything. It's when race gets brought into that at all.
Right.
In any shade.
Right.
Where I'm like, oh, I'm going to now back off and kill her with kindness.
That's right.
And
that's
actually, I don't like to think of myself as passive aggressive, but I can't think of anything more passive aggressive than saying, I'm just going to be nice and therefore I'm not racist.
That's right. That's right. I think that... So Robin, one of the things I appreciate about her and appreciate about the book is that, and this video, is that she is saying things and putting it out there so white folks have to begin to deal with the dissonance, right? What white people do and the way that this society is structured around white comfort. Right.
Yeah.
So not saying anything is actually upholding the system. Not being or being nice is actually holding the system. It doesn't restructure anything.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I believe that, you know, that the end of abolishing white body supremacy for me, I will never see it in my lifetime because it's so structural. But. What people like her and Jacqueline Batarola, and other white scholars and stuff like that. One of the things that they're doing is that they're actually beginning to seed the ground for white people to actually begin to have something to eat from, right? Because right now, in terms of culture, that idea doesn't exist in terms of. Having a culture that's built on abolishing, right? And so one of the things I appreciate about her is her just saying, here's my contribution to this, right? White folks, this is it. This is not about being nice. This is not about who you're married to, who your kids are, who you used to play basketball with in college.
I have a black friend.
Yeah, I have a black friend.
Couple, and yeah.
It's not about that, because what happened to me, what happened to black people, did not happen to us individually.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to us as a people, as a community. What happened to Native people? What happened to Aboriginal people? Those things happened to us as people,
mm-hmm.
right? So you being nice to me, let me say this. I'd rather for you personally
mm-hmm.
to be nice to me. I, you know what I mean? I like that.
Yeah.
But that's not structural. That's not what's killing me. That's not what's shooting me in the back unarmed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also feel like one of the, because there's this, to be nice to someone is all there's, and I, mm-hmm. I, as a white person, I felt this. There's a certain amount of, well, I'm accepting you,
mm-hmm.
and that's a total top-down mechanism. Mm-hmm. Like there, the fact that, well, I'm being nice to you, mm-hmm. I'm accepting you, that's so right. I'm not racist.
That's right.
It's like, whoa.
That's right.
Do you even? And there's a disconnect even mm-hmm. in that thought process.
That's right.
That is a top-down mentality.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Which white, we're so used to being.
Right.
Up there, we don't even know it.
That's right. That's
again,
right.
it goes back to the water. We're that's in the water.
In
we're
the
like...
water. That's right. It's like I always say, it's like asking a fish to describe water. A fish will just look at you like,
mm-hmm.
it's just, it is.
I mean. Water? We're in water?
Water,
yeah.
exactly right. And so one of the things I appreciate about what Robin did in that video is one of the things she did is actually used examples that actually helped you understand how crazy that is.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy it is that you think that your own personal niceness to me
mm-hmm.
restructures this whole thing that was built on me being brutalized
mm-hmm.
and being a mode of production. That you being nice to me restructures that.
Yeah.
I mean... And that's why sometimes when white people and people of color are talking, we're actually talking two different languages. We're not saying in any way the same things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
There is a level of nuance and reading and vibes that I am picking up on that white people have not even begun to develop an understanding of. Not even, because you haven't had to. Mm-hmm. You have not, have you had bad things happen? Yes, but not, but race impacts the bad things that happen to me.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, because it's not just, there's a personal experience to it, there's a systemic experience to it, there's community, cultural mm-hmm. experience to it, and there's the, it's nuanced, it's multifaceted,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna go a step further, basically because this is what I was noticing myself feeling.
Okay,
was that this isn't just about white folks, not seeing it. This is also about white folks doing it because it makes them feel better. And
doing what
being nice
okay.
that whole that right. which is still part of I'm accepting you
right
it's a way it's I'll dare say it's a way of still continuing to abuse and being abusive it's still
and keeping the structure in place.
Yeah exactly it's part of the white supremacy formula
yeah.
quite frankly
yes that's it I haven't thought about it in that way. I hadn't thought about it in a way that was about that the feel good, the doing it is really actually, doing something nice is really not about me. You being nice to me is really not about me. You being nice to me is really about you feeling better.
Absolutely.
Around continuing to uphold a structure that brutalizes me,
mm-hmm.
that continues the prison industrial complex as a way to get the bad guys,
mm-hmm.
But not without acknowledging that there are certain people in the society historically that are always the bad guys, right? That are always the bad girls, that are always a little less trustworthy, right? And that's woven into the structure. You know, I tell people all the time that the foundation of this country, of racism and white body supremacy, existed before America became America.
Yeah.
So when white people say to me, I'm not racist, the first thing that I ask is, what's the process you went through in order not to be racist? You know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
Because you have, because if a process is 300 or 400 years old, right? And you tell me you have not gone through anything to combat the effects of that, I already don't trust you, right? Because because what you're saying is that all you have to do is declare. And that should be enough. And we know that that's not reality.
Well, and again, you and I come from trauma, working with trauma in that background. And when I look at it through that lens, which racism is trauma. When I look at it through that lens, you have to do more than there has to be a process.
That's right.
So if you're talking about, well, I'm not racist anymore because I just chose not to be. I know from experience. I'm not an abuse victim anymore because I've chosen not to be, and I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's behind me now.
Yeah.
I know the damage that happens to a person that does that because I've lived it.
That's exactly right.
You adapt.
That's right.
But until you deal,
that's right.
It's a totally different ballgame.
Exactly right.
And so, like, to tell me that I'm not racist because I've decided I'm not racist, I've decided I accept you people of color. It's like, no, that's crazy.
That's right. That's
you listen to what you're saying. It's like, I accept you. And so, yeah, I'd love to believe that we're just blind to it. But it also, no, that's part of the tool. That's part of the mechanism that keeps white supremacy in place.
Yeah.
And also, it allows, and I've seen this now, I see this especially on social media all over the place. Mm-hmm. And social media, man, I love how brave people can be on social media. You knew if they were right in front of you in a room, they wouldn't say half the stuff they say.
Right.
But I watch my fellow white folks talking about how unracist our society is, and definitely how we do not live in a society of white supremacy.
Wow. Yep.
And that is bonkers.
Right.
It's maddening because the evidence is so structured there. But that whole the same thing that's underlying what Robin's talking about in being nice doesn't mean you're being racist.
That's right.
It also holds up that, well, no,
That's right.
White supremacy doesn't exist.
That's exactly right.
Because, look, we're letting these black people come into our schools.
That's exactly right.
Native Americans have their own land.
That's
we gave them land. And now they can go fish on lake. You know, it's like this kind of...
Yeah.
And without even understanding that... So to me, the niceness doesn't just even imply that you're being polite or have good manners or, you know, over placating, which all of those things apply. It's also this idea of there's a reason for it. There's a payoff for it.
Yeah.
And it goes more than just being feeling comfortable. Yeah. It continues to allow things to just be the way they are.
Yeah. I think that the niceness in white people's eyes is that niceness means that I'm not hanging you. That niceness means that I am not spitting in your food.
Mm-hmm.
That niceness means that you can eat in the same place that I'm, and you've been granted that by me and my people and other white people. And that niceness really is not about doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about uprooting a structure that I benefit from simply because I got nominated and won the Lucky Sperm Club.
Yeah,
and
that's came out all and, it and is. Became,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
That that niceness really is like almost. So as I'm listening to you talk, one of the things that image that came to my mind was this almost like a smile, but a baring of the teeth. So you know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
You know, so it's like I'm nice to you, but my fang, you can see
that I will
rip your heart out, right? And so people of color have had to understand that that's what niceness means.
Mm-hmm.
That niceness does not mean that I want you, that I see you as a fully fledged human being. That's not what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Niceness means that I'm not hanging you today. It doesn't mean that I won't want to run a pipeline through your sacred land.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I won't have a prison industrial complex where people benefit in the billions
mm-hmm.
off of ushering black and brown and Latino bodies through the prison industrial system. And those bodies getting more time for the same crimes as white folks, right?
Yeah.
That and have a whole industry based on it. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to redo the policing system so people stop getting shot in the back unarmed or shot in front of their babies in a car with a legal gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what niceness means.
Yeah.
Niceness means that I'm not hanging you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, man.
So thank me for that. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that.
Yeah.
What hit me, like I said, about that video was, and what got to me was how she included herself in everything she was talking about, right?
Yeah.
So she would talk about us as white people and us.
And her people. That's right.
And it really, I couldn't do the they.
Yeah.
I couldn't do the othering.
Yeah,
like, no, I'm different.
That's right.
And I'm like,
that's right.
And it really.
That's right.
It was unsettling.
Yes.
Because it, and that's where I started to realize, when I started to get curious about, okay, why is this so unsettling to
me?
Besides the surface
mm-hmm.
of my ego and all of those
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started to realize this isn't just
mm-hmm.
about like a subconscious.
That's right.
I don't want to be known as racist,
right.
So I'm going to be nice. There's more insidiousness behind this, I have to deal with it.
That's exactly right.
I'm not. This is our insidiousness.
It. That's right.
We may not. I don't think I've ever purposely thought I'm going to uphold the white supremacist platform.
Right.
Yet. I've been doing it.
That's right. One of the things I appreciate about her work and Jacqueline's work is that what they do is that they are peopling white people. What that means is that they're saying us.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying we. They're saying community, right? Not me. Not individual, right? And in that peopling, it makes it harder for white people to get around. They will get around it,
mm-hmm.
but it makes it harder for white people to get around looking in the mirror and going, wow, so this is kind of like what we get born into,
mm-hmm.
right? This culture that by the time somebody is 3 or 4 years old, they already understand, this includes black children, Latino children, Native children, they understand that it's much better to be a white person than it is to be a black person. You know, famous doll experiment, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you have black kids come in and choose the beautiful doll. Now, the dolls are exactly the same. The only difference is the color.
Mm-hmm.
And black children will pick the white doll, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's at 3 or 4, right? That's the water, right? That's when people talk about the water. That's the water. The water is in the womb. The water is in the historical context and in the generate before the body even lands. There's this, right? And what Robin is doing when she's saying me, and she doesn't say me, I'm better, I'm different than these other white folks.
No.
She is saying.
That's what's so disarming to me about
she's
it.
She's saying me.
Yeah.
I do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying we all do this as white people. And we got to do something about this. We have to create. We have to create communities by which we can actually do this. It is not enough to do this by yourself. It is not enough to develop a strategy or a book club or a workshop to learn about implicit bias. That is not enough. If you are not creating a culture by which you are consistently coming back with other white bodies over and over and over and over and over again,
yeah,
to develop nuance, to develop language, to develop understanding, to develop it with each other, all of the fissures that exist between black bodies and white bodies actually exist within the white community. And when you have white bodies get together with white bodies, you start to see those fissures come up. And the key is, how do you begin to practice what needs to be practiced in terms of marginalized communities within the white structure? That you begin to practice those so when you do have some occasion to interface with people of color, you actually have gotten enough reps with people that look like you, so you can begin to not wound me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't even begun to make that structural piece yet, then I don't give a hell. I don't give a shit that you say you're not racist. I want to know, if you tell me you ain't racist, you know what I'm going to say?
Hmm.
Who's your people?
Yeah.
Who are you? Who are the people that are holding you accountable, right?
Yeah.
To this anti-white body supremacy idea. How do you raise your kids? How do you bury your dead? How are kids birthed? How are they named? What tradition are they named in? Are they named in a tradition after a long history, after a long line of white abolitionists? How are you developing culture?
And that's, I think that's hard for white, it's hard for me to answer because, and a lot of my first reactions as you're saying this is to, there's a pain there of like, you know what? That's part of the reason I don't want to socialize with white folks in general.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that.
Right.
And what I mean by that is it's not like I don't socialize with white folks. It's that...
build with white.
It's not as straightforward. Yeah. I don't want to be vulnerable with white people.
Right.
First of all.
Right.
From there's some of my personal abuse history that goes with that, but I do not want to be vulnerable around white people.
That's right.
Because I see what they do.
You see behind the doors.
I don't want to be.
That's right.
But so there's there's definitely defense mechanism that's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Not doing that.
Yeah.
Not going there with those folks. And yet.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
From healing trauma history, like, this has to happen.
That's right.
And part of, for instance, like, this idea of white folks don't really have a culture, and I get, you know, when I've mentioned that to other white folks, it does not go over well, because like, no, what about this, what about that?
That's,
and it's like, okay, then tell me, why is it when I say something about diversity you start thinking about people of color?
Right.
When I start saying things about, you know, even community.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of community capacity building in my job. So I go around and we talk community.
Right.
In rural areas, they're a little better than they are in urban areas. But usually when you're talking communities, they are fixated on people of color.
Mm-hmm.
The Hmong community,
mm-hmm.
the Somali community,
mm-hmm.
the African American community,
mm-hmm.
the Native American community, the Latino community. And then in those communities, there's sub-communities and so forth. You don't hear that conversation in predominantly white communities.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's just a given that we're here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, there is, I think that affords some avoidance of what is your culture?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is your background?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the traditions that I see from my people aren't they're not steeped in real culture.
Well, they're not, and specifically, I'm talking about building not just culture, but building a anti-white body supremacist culture.
Yeah,
that's built on so you said something, or you said the thing about you said diversity, right? Yeah. I believe that diversity can mean now can mean absolutely anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one of the reasons why is I think that when we talk about diversity, there are unspoken ethics to that, right? That we all know the ethics to it, right? Mm-hmm. Or the ethos to it. And one of them is when you say diversity, everybody will shoot their hands up and everybody believes in diversity. Right? But if you ask people, like when you say diversity, what you're saying is there is a standard first, right? Yep. And you're diversifying from that standard in order, because we know diversity is the thing that most species are able to survive because they are diverse. They're able to adapt,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
But when we say, so there is a standard. When you say diversity, you have a standard first and then you diversify from that standard. And the unspoken thing that we never talk about
mm-hmm.
is, what's the standard?
It's white folks.
It's white folks. But we all know that, right?
Yeah.
But we never talk about the fact that when we're saying diversity is that we're trying to diversify from the idea that the white body is the standard of humanness,
that's
right?
Correct, yeah.
And we're trying to bring in other things so it's not, right? But we never say that.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And that also allows for a high level of comfort, which is sounds positive, especially to white folks.
That's right.
Comfort sounds great because that's what we want, but comfort does not allow for growth.
That's exactly right.
And that's,
no heat. There's no heat in comfort.
No.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
And that's not also realistic.
That's right.
I've seen a lot of personal damage from traumatized people staying comfortable.
That's exactly right.
And how much they hurt not only themselves, mm-hmm. families,
that's
and
it.
Their that's immediate it. Community in the process.
Yeah.
That's a parallel process right that's there. It. Parallel process. White that's folks it. Doing the same thing. We're trying to stay comfy. And I guess in a crude way, it's acknowledging white people in our society, in our country. I'm not going to go global on this, but I'll say white people in this country, especially, we are addicted to white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
It is, we are addicted to
it. It is the bedrock.
Yes.
It's the bedrock. Mm-hmm. Every system that we operate in, every structure, every institution has its bedrock is white body supremacy. Science.
Mm-hmm.
Education.
So I'm laughing at
economics.
The science. We got to come back to that. Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
All of those are in the white supremacy, white body supremacy. The supremacy of the white body
mm-hmm.
is predicated, and specifically the white male body, is predicated on the idea that the white male body is the supreme standard of humanity.
Yes.
And until white people begin to look at that, it's going to be really hard for people of color to trust, not really hard. We will not trust you because our survival depends on not trusting you.
That's correct. You've adapted to the because we're addicts.
That's it.
Look at what addicts do, man.
Yeah.
And I hate to be that like.
Mm-hmm.
Frame it so simply, but I really it falls
it's
into that line.
It's
for
compulsive.
Me. Very
it's compulsive. Any type of racial discomfort, you've heard me say this before. All I have to do as a black man
mm-hmm.
is kneel on the football field, and white bodies lose their mind.
Yep.
Put my hand up in solidarity with other black people at the Olympics. what black people are dealing with back home in Detroit and Milwaukee and Chicago and in the South. Just put my hand up in silence and solidarity. Just kneel in the church like Martin Luther King, right? Mm-hmm. All that's all I have to do. Eat at a counter.
Yep.
Put my hands up with no weapon, right?
Yeah.
That's all I have to do. And the white body has a reflexive reaction. Barbecue. Take my dog to a dog park. Right? Mm-hmm. Sell water. And the white body has a reflexive reaction that you are not giving deference to my body, which means, here's the other thing that happens in the white body. And Robin touched on this a little bit. The white body conflates being uncomfortable with being unsafe.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So the moment that I show any agency, there's a reflexive reaction that happens in the white body that suggests that I am now unsafe.
That is correct.
Right? That's not mine.
No.
Right? So.
Yeah, that's... there's so much more to talk about, yeah, but we're running out of time. But
it's been good, though.
Yeah, and I say, you know, check out, again, Robin DiAngelo. Her book is... And you'll hear many episodes that will reference Robin, mm-hmm, and her book, White Fragility, as well as a lot of her other work. But this video is, I believe it's titled, Be Nice Does Not Mean You're Not Racist.
That's right.
And you can, again, look it up on YouTube, but it'll also be on our website. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to bring the elephant in the room.
That's right. Deuces. Thanks. Deuces. Baby, just breathe.
Thank you for joining us on Chromatic Elephant. Support for this podcast comes from My Grandmother's Hands and Resma Menakem at resma.com or text RESMAA to 55222. Support also comes from Thriver Institute, helping organizations in social services, education, and pediatrics find practical and culturally responsive approaches to applying trauma-informed practices. Live to thrive. Chromatic Elephant is produced and directed by Tyler Reitzner and Resma Menakem, with technical production by Noah Brown and Andre Gobert. Thank you for listening, and keep acknowledging the Chromatic Elephant in the room.